your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1315, 1315. We'll be reading the first four verses, and then after that we'll turn the page to a passage in 2 Peter. We'll read the verses responsibly. The text verse for this passage is the first verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as is our custom. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now to 2 Peter chapter 1. Likewise, we'll read the first four verses. This time, the text verse is the fourth verse. Once again, reading responsively. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this great crowd. We thank you for this church. And Father, there are many individuals here, and every individual represents a particular need. It certainly is a tall order for every need to be filled, but we believe that the man of God can bring us thy word, and that thy word can speak to the needs of our hearts. And we pray that you'd help us to be attentive and give to this service that which thou wouldst desire to do. And so bless with thy power, in Jesus' name, amen.
Some of my sermons, you can find them very easy to listen to. In fact, in some of them, you can sort of predict what's coming, and you can sit back and listen casually and sort of enjoy what is obvious. Others of my sermons are a little more difficult to follow. When you find one that's more difficult to follow, usually it's worth our effort because we're digging for a nugget of truth. And this morning, if you listen casually, you will go home without a blessing. If you listen carefully, you'll go home tremendously blessed. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you can be a partaker. You can be a partaker. We read a while ago these words, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker. What does that mean? That means if you decide to suffer for Christ, you choose to suffer for Christ. You are a partaker. It means you reach out and you, with others, you take something. And then I read for you again, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, it's your choice. You can choose or not to choose the divine nature. A partakers. For example, you get saved. Listen to me now. When you get saved, the divine nature comes into you. Please put your pens up now. I'll say it again and again. Please do not take notes while I'm preaching. I want you to listen to me carefully. It's not a classroom. This is a preaching service. I want you to listen to me. I say it again. We become partakers of the divine nature. When you get saved, you become you partake. You decide to get saved. There it is for you. It's all laid out. You reach out and take it. Listen to me now. Reach out and take it. Now, that means that the divine nature comes in you to live. Now, how much of that divine nature you have? Yeah, you have Christ, but you may partake and keep on partaking of that divine nature. I think you'll understand it a bit more, but I want to just quote a scripture too. In Philippians 1:7 says, "You're all partakers of my grace." In Colossians 1:12, it mentions partakers of the inheritance. In 1 Timothy 6:2, the words partakers of the benefit. In Hebrews 3:1, partakers of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:14, made partakers of Christ. Hebrews 6:4, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 13:10, made partakers of His holiness. Father, bless the sermon as I speak this morning. May it be a help and blessing and strength to Thy people. Amen. In Acts 10:34, don't miss it now. In Acts 10:34, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Or God is no respecter of persons. That's the foundation of all I'm going to say this morning. Statement number two, hear me now. This means that what is available to one of us is available to all of us. If God would make His power available to me and not make His power available to the Colston, then God is a respecter of persons. If God would give faith to Brother Bordway and not give faith to Brother McKinney, then God is a respecter of persons. So let me make the first two statements again. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. One, God is no respecter of persons. Two, this means that what is available to one of us is available to all of us. That means the same things that were available to Dwight L. Moody are available to you. That means the same things that are available to Billy Sunday and John Rice are available to you. God is no respecter of persons, and this means that what is available to one of us is available to all of us. Statement number three. Hear me carefully. So the difference is to what extent we partake. I mean, you go to a buffet luncheon, and here's all this food laid out. Now, the difference in what we eat is who partakes the most. That's been the difference, Brother Keith McKinney and me all these years. But that's the difference. I mean, it's all laid out. The buffet is no respecter of persons. So it's up to you. You can eat all you want to eat of anything that's there. And the difference in how much is consumed is in the extent of partaking. Listen again. I said in the first place, God is no respecter of persons. I said in the second place, this means that what is available to one of us is available to all of us. I said in the third place, so the difference is to what extent we partake. Number four, don't miss it, don't miss it. Because anything God commands of us, to all of us, He provides for all of us. Listen to me. Anything God commands any all of us to do, He provides for all of us the wherewithal. Number five. So the difference, now this is important. So the difference in the greatest Christian here and the poorest Christian here is not the measure of availability, but the degree of partaking. Number six. When we partake, He makes more available. Now I'm going to list some things here in a few minutes. But what God makes available for us, if we partake it, then God puts more on the table. And if we partake that, then God puts more on the table. And we partake of that, God puts more on the table. But listen carefully. Every time I partake, and every time you partake, God puts exactly the same amount on the table for both of us the next time. For if we respond the same, God gives us the same opportunity. So that means that when we partake, He makes more available. Then on each level, He gives the same. Now here's a statement that may shock you. Listen carefully. So if all of us got saved on the same day and used all that He gives, we would all be at the same spiritual level. See what I'm saying? Anybody home? All right, I said again. Since God is no respecter of persons, and what He makes available to one of us, He makes available to all of us, then if all of us got saved the same time, and if all of us responded the same way to what is available to us, then all of us would be at the same level of spiritual growth. Let me give you an example. Let's take the subject of faith. God commands us to have faith. But God never commands us to do anything that God does not give to us to do. That's why in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Are you listening? It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The very faith that I put in Christ, God gave me to put that faith in Christ. In Romans chapter 4, chapter 12 and verse 3, it says He has given to all men the measure of faith. Didn't say a measure of faith. The measure of faith. That means God has given to all men the same measure of faith. So God comes along to Bob O'Claire and gives him faith, and He gives to Mike Sisson the same amount of faith, and He gives to Jeff Owen the same amount of faith, and He gives to Roy Moffat the same amount of faith, and Keith McKinney the same amount of faith, and Ray Bordwell the same amount of faith. Now you fellows have that faith, but you can decide where you put it. So God, somebody says, He has great faith. Only reason he has great faith is because he exercised the faith that God gave him. Now, God has given everybody in this room faith. Faith. Now, you can put your faith in whatever you want to put it in. You can put your faith in the government if you want to. That's sort of foolish. Put your faith in Bill Clinton. That's stupid. But put your faith in Social Security if you want to. Put your faith anything you want to, but you have that faith. But the very... You say, well, how does that mean that God decides who gets saved? No, God gives you the faith, and then your will decides whether or not to put that faith in God or not. Consequently, God gives you the faith, and then we can place it where we choose. Now, if we place it in Him, He gives more and more. If Brother Keith, for example, right here, the faith that God has given him, if he puts his faith in God, then God gives him more faith than He gave him the first time. If he puts that faith in God, God gives him more faith than he gave him the second time. If he puts that faith in God, God gives him more faith than he gave the third time. So that means the way you get faith is to put your faith in God. Because every time you put the faith in God that God gives you, then God gives you more faith. Now that means also then that there are degrees of faith. Hear me now. There are degrees of faith, but it need not be so. Are you listening? There are degrees of faith, but it need not be so. If somebody has more faith than you have, it's because you've not exercised the faith that God gave you, because God gave you to start with the same measure of faith He gave to me. All right? So you can have as much faith as I can. But the key is the word partakers. It's right there for you. God has placed that faith for it. Now, if you're not saved today, it's not God's fault. Because God's given you enough faith to save you if you'd put it in Jesus. So, I'm waiting till my time comes. Your time came the first time that you realized you were a sinner. And God gave to you the same amount of faith that He gave to me. Put my faith in Christ. I would suggest this morning that you take... You say, I don't have faith. Oh, yes, you do have faith. You trust something. You trust that pew to hold you up this morning. You trusted the car drive you to church. Most of you did. Drive to church this morning. Yeah, you have faith. Now... I would suggest that you take that faith that God has given you and put that faith in Jesus today, and you can go to heaven when you die. For by grace you are saved through baptism. No. For by grace you are saved through communion. No. For by grace you are saved through confession. No. For by grace you are saved through sacraments. No. For by grace you are saved through good works. No. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And that means you have as much a chance to be saved as I do. Because the same faith that God gave me, that I gave back to Christ, God's given you, and you can give it back to Christ. And this morning, you can walk out those doors a child of God, your name written in heaven, born again, sins forgiven, sins blotted out of God's book, a child of God. You can walk out those doors assured of heaven this morning if you'll take the faith that God has given you and put that faith in Jesus Christ. Now, partaker. The key of the Christian life is partaker. You partake, He gives you more. You partake, He gives you more. Mrs. Hiles and I were on a cruise. And the cruise is one big restaurant. You would love a cruise. In fact, I think you've been on one, haven't you? But wait a minute. There's a pizza place open all the time. Then there's a hamburger place open all the time. And then you have the dining hall. You go breakfast and lunch and the evening meal. And you eat all you want. If you don't like what you want, they bring you something else. Eat all you want. Then they got a buffet for breakfast and a buffet for lunch. And you go there if you want to. I mean, we went and got pizza on the way to lunch. But every time we ran out of something, they filled it up again. If we ate all of something, here was a waiter immediately to fill it back up again. I recall Ms. Howells ran out of her cocktail one time, the martini. And as soon as she sipped that martini, it was full again. I'm a Christian. I just drink one at a time. But she just kept on and kept on. But now, wait a minute. God said, eat what I've given you, and I'll give you some more. Now let's take another subject. Let's take the matter of repentance. Now, repentance simply means turning from sin. That's what it means. All right. Repentance, God commands every man everywhere to repent. He commands us to repent. Acts 17:30. Commands all men everywhere to repent. Then He calls us to repentance. Matthew 9:13. Then He leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. Then He grants repentance to us. Get that now. Acts 11:18. He grants, He gives repentance to us. See, God never commands you to do anything He does not supply. God says, put your faith in me, and here's the faith. God says, repent of your sins, and here's the repentance. You can have it if you want it. So God gives us repentance, and that is in Acts 5:31. And God grants us repentance, Acts 11:18. Now, in 2 Corinthians 7:14, it tells us to be a partaker of repentance. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. That's what repentance is. Are you listening? So when you repent, God gives it to you. Now, that's what's so wicked. That's what is so wicked. God gives you the faith to put in Jesus, and you prostitute that faith and put it in something else. God gives you faith to put in Jesus, and you prostitute that faith and give it that priest across the street. God gives you faith to put in Jesus, and you prostitute that faith and put it in that baptistry up there. God gives you the faith to put in Jesus, and you prostitute that faith and put it in that Lord's Supper table there. God gives you the faith to put in Jesus, and you prostitute that faith and put it in the holy sacraments, which are not holy at all. I'm saying God gave you faith to put in Jesus. And then God turns around and says, repent, repent, repent. Now, when you first get saved, you repent of one thing, and that's your unbelief. You turn from unbelief to belief. Now, the minute you do that, God gives you more repentance and something else to turn from. Let me illustrate. Now, follow me carefully. Anybody listening? Follow me carefully. Here's a guy who comes to church. He's a beer guzzler, which in the Greek means truck driver. He's a beer guzzler. He's a cusser, which in the Greek means sailor. And he's just a pretty wicked guy. He comes to church one Sunday, and the preacher gets up and tells him you ought to trust Jesus to get saved. And I don't care if you're a truck driver, sailor. I don't care if you're a banker, a lawyer, electrician, plumber, contractor. I don't care if you're a millionaire or a dime heir. You're going to go to hell if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ. So the preacher comes up one morning and he says, you trust Jesus, trust Him. He's all that saves. And you repent of that unbelief. Now follow me carefully. And the repentance that God gave to you, you use. And the faith that God gave to you, you use. Now wait a minute. Next day you're driving down the street, down the road. And all of a sudden, you stop at this tavern. And pretty soon, you say, I don't know if I should do this or not. I got saved yesterday. I got baptized yesterday.
What's God doing? He's giving you more repentance. Yesterday, you used repentance that you had, that God gave you. He grants us repentance. Yesterday, you used it. God gave it to you. Now today, He's giving you some more. So what do? You back out, and you drive away from that tavern, and you say, I'll never take another drink. What? You have repented again. So God gives you more repentance. And then all of a sudden, you get behind a fellow going 55 miles an hour and 55 miles on. They call that Jack Hiles. And you want to go, you want to pass him up. And all of a sudden, you say, dirty brick and brack, watch this flattery up, and you cuss me out. And all of a sudden, God says, you shouldn't say those words. What is God doing? God is giving you repentance from cursing, because yesterday, He gave you repentance from drinking liquor. Because the day before, He gave you repentance from unbelief. So you turn from your unbelief and turn to Jesus. He gave you more repentance, and you turn from your liquor and turn to sobriety. He gave you more repentance, and you turn from your cursing to decent language. And then the next day God said, you shouldn't break a speed limit. Quit preaching and going to meddling, have not. But you see what I'm trying to say? Have you ever noticed that the same people come to this altar every Sunday? Do you ever wonder why? Now, not all of them, but many of them come to this altar every Sunday because they have used repentance that God gave them last week. And they have become very sensitive to their sins. What is this sensitivity to sin? It is repentance that God gives. Now, a lot of you folks have repented of your unbelief, and God gave you repentance to turn you soap operas off, but you haven't used that repentance yet. And God gave you repentance to quit your liquor, but you haven't used it. And God gave you repentance to leave your hot temper, but you don't use it. I'm saying that repentance is a gift from God, and you can be a partaker of that gift. And once you partake of the repentance that God gives you, then God gives you more repentance. And you partake of that repentance, and God gives you more repentance. And the reason a lot of you are living wicked lives is you never have used repentance that God gave you for the simple things. Now that means this. Each time I repent, I get more sensitive about my sins. So He reveals to me more and more of what I ought to turn from. So, I'm saying again, God is no respecter of persons. God will not give me any more sensitivity concerning my repentance than He'll give you. Unless I'm using what He gave me more than you're using yours. Let's take the matter of wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you, that's everybody, isn't it? Lack wisdom. Let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. So God has given to each of us the availability of wisdom. Now, if somebody's wiser than you are, listen to me. If somebody's wiser than you are, that means because they have used the wisdom God gave them. I used to pastor a little church down in East Texas, way down in the country. I used what I had. I gave the best I had. Then God called me to a church in a small town. I used what I had there. Then God called me to a church in a small city. I used what I had there. Then God's called me to this great church in this great metropolitan area of Chicago. Why? Because I used what I had. And there, listen, there are hundreds of preachers. There are hundreds of preachers who could be preaching to this many people this morning if they had just used what God gave them when they're out in the country of 50 people. I'm trying to tell you, you sit back there and say, well, he's a better Christian than I am. Well, it just didn't happen. You had the same faith on your buffet table that he had. And you have the same repentance on your buffet table that he had. And you have the same wisdom on your buffet table that he had. And there's no such thing as God ordaining somebody to be a better Christian than somebody else. And there's no such thing as God being a respecter of persons, ordaining that somebody have more faith than somebody else, and somebody have more repentance than somebody else, and somebody have more wisdom than somebody else. God is not a respecter of persons. And if you don't have the faith you ought to have, it's because you have not been a partaker. If you don't have the repentance you ought to have and have turned from your sins like you should, it's because you've not become a partaker. And if you don't have the wisdom that you ought to have, it's because you have not become a partaker. All of God's divine nature is available to you if you'll just partake of it. Let's take the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to, unto your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Can you ask Him? Can you ask Him? Can you ask Him? Can you ask Him? All right, that means that it's available as much to you as it is to you. Now you listen to me. People say, "Oh Lord, bless our preacher. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit while he preaches." How about you having the power of the Holy Spirit while you listen? How about you having the power of the Holy Spirit while you go soul winning? How about you having the power of the Holy Spirit while you teach your Sunday school class? My Bible said, He said, He giveth the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him. That means when I got saved, listen now, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit was given to me, but that same Holy Spirit was given to you and to you. And to you, and to you, and to you, and to you. Same Holy Spirit. You get saved this morning, the same Spirit of God will come into you that came into me back yonder over a half a century ago. And everybody who gets saved gets that same Holy Spirit. Now, if you live in that Spirit, partake of that Spirit, He'll give you more of His power. And you partake of that power, He'll give you more of His power. You say, "Oh, I wish I had the power so-and-so has." It's available to you as it was to him. The reason that some of you folks are sitting out this morning and you're baby Christians with baby faith and baby repentance and baby wisdom and baby power is because you sat at the same table that all of us have sat at and you have not partaken of the buffet that God has spread before us. We're all in the same room this morning. We're all sitting in the same building. We heard the same songs. We're hearing the same sermon. The difference is whether or not we partake. Like the lady a while ago asleep over there. She's not partaking anything. One of these days she'll end up, could end up, out yonder in sin with a wrecked life. You know why? Because she did not partake of what was available to her. Young folks misbehaving right now. You college students writing notes and misbehaving right now. You won't become much of a Christian, but you could have. The secret is not the providence of God. The secret is, are you eating of God's buffet? Be a partaker. That's what the secret is. I used to pastor in the country. And I drove a old Dodge. I just preached around the country. I didn't need much transportation. Everywhere I preached, within 50 miles of where I lived. Let's suppose, for example, that let's suppose Brother Sisson over here is a salesman, and suppose that his territory is Calumet region. We could buy him. Anybody listening? We could buy him a little small car, couldn't we? With a gasoline tank that, say, 12 gallons of gasoline. Okay? Because he didn't have to go over his Calumet region. Let's suppose he gets promoted, and he has all of Indiana and Illinois to cover. We better buy him a mid-sized car, hadn't we? With an 18-gallon tank. Let's suppose then, all of a sudden, he has the entire Midwest area, all the way from the western side of Pennsylvania, all the way through past Iowa and Kansas and Minnesota and Wisconsin. Suppose he has all of that. We better get him a big car, maybe a big Cadillac or something, a big brown Cadillac or something. Why? And that has more. Now, when I had a little church in the country, I didn't need all the power I need now, but I was filled. That's why God says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit," but it's in the future perfect. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. It means that if I'm out in the country and doing the best I've got and preaching and working and praying and serving God and living in my Bible, and I say, "Oh God, God will fill me," and He did on my daddy's grave. I went to Garland, Texas, to a bigger opportunity. That fullness I had in East Texas would not do for Garland, Texas. In my study one night, all night long, I prayed, and God filled me again. But that would not do for Hammond, Indiana, this great Chicago area, and the worldwide ministry I now have. And so when I came to Hammond, Indiana, God gave me another filling. I'm trying to say, if I had not used that little 12-gallon tank, God wouldn't have given me an 18-gallon tank. If I hadn't used that 18-gallon tank, God wouldn't have given me a 22-gallon tank. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, that all the faith in the world is available to you if you'll partake of what God gives you. And all the repentance is available to you. All of the sanctification, if you please, is available to you. But you have got to partake of what God provides. People say, you say God gives us the faith? Yeah. You haven't got to think and please God. So God gives you the faith that you put back in Him. You say God gives you repentance? Yes, sir. Listen. The very fact that you want to turn from a sin is a gift of God. That's why some of you kids think that rock music's okay. You know why? Because you haven't gotten that far. God gave you back yonder repentance, and you haven't used it, and you've lost your sensitivity to sin. But thank God there's some in this room today. When God says you'll repent of this and turn from this, you reach out and take it and turn from it, and then God said, I'll give you something else. And that's why you don't see anything wrong with it. What's wrong with movies? You wouldn't know. Because you got a bunch of unused repentance on stuff bigger than that you haven't used yet. What's wrong with rock music? You would not know. And you will not know till you use repentance God's given you and turn from the sin that you know you have and use the life that you have now. And God will give you more repentance to turn from other things. People come to me every once in a while and say, Brother Hiles, God sure has given you a lot of wisdom. He may have, but didn't offer him any more than he offers you. What's the difference? I've taken the little wisdom that God gave me as a kid, preacher and a Christian, and I've tried to help people with it. And I've spent my life trying to help people with whatever wisdom God's given me. And God said, okay, I'll give you some more. But God will not give you more wisdom until you have partaken of the wisdom that God has offered you. What a God. What a Savior. What a salvation. What a religion. The religion of Jesus Christ, where God is no respecter of persons. You know why that man right there is vice president of Hiles Anderson College? He went to our college, graduated from our college. You know why he's vice president of Hiles Anderson College right now? Because he's my son-in-law. No, sir. No, sir. That was an uphill battle. The fact that he was my son-in-law was something he had to overcome. Because the very fact that some people could think if he got promoted, it was because he's my son-in-law. There were many students when Jack Scott was in college. And I can say the same thing about the other men here. Jeff Owens. All these fellas, many of these fellas. While they were in college, there were many students loafing. And did not partake of the buffet. They were shooting baskets with other folks on bus routes. And this man, he did not graduate from Hiles Anderson College and inherit the vice presidency of our college. While he was in college, God spread his buffet in front of him. And he said, I think I'll partake. And then God spread some more. And he said, I'll partake. And God spread some more. And he said, I'll partake. And at a time when a lot of people are just on their way, barely started, this guy is already vice president of the best college in the world. He became a partaker. You're not gonna misbehave your way through college and end up with the wisdom you'll need to pastor a church. Because you will not have partaken and used what God gave you to use as a student in college and on a bus route, maybe. And you here you are with this little bitty puny faith and little bitty puny repentance and puny wisdom and puny power that God gave you for a classroom in college. And now you're pastoring a great church somewhere. You don't have any wisdom. You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. You waited to partake. Too late. Partake. We've been made partakers. Partakers. And as soon as you reach out and partake, I think God smiles and says, fill up the plate again. Fill up the plate again. And the next time, the plate's a little fuller. And the next time. Now, I cut up with everybody, as you know, and I cut up with Keith this morning a lot. He's a good sport, and he picks it. He has to or he has to get a job. But he didn't get that big when he's 12 years old eating a big meal. He has eaten millions of calories per week. No. Well, let's suppose that for months and months and months that he doesn't eat a bite. And all of a sudden he's supposed to do carpenter work. He can't do carpenter work. He hasn't been partaking. But he got to the strength he has now because he partook. And some of you people sitting out there this morning, forgive me for using Dr. Jorgensen's illustration, but spiritually you're the size of James Jorgensen. And some of you are the size of Keith McKinney spiritually. And God did not just ordain you be that spiritual size. Some of you have been partaking and partaking and partaking. I don't know about you, but I want to reach out. I want to take the faith that God gives me and put it right back in Him. Then He'll give me more faith. And I want to take that and put it back in. He'll give me more faith. I want to take the repentance that God's given me and I want to turn from something else. He said, "Now, I've quit all I can quit." No, you haven't. If you quit all you can quit, that means you're not using the repentance that God's given you. And I've given up things I never thought I'd give up. I was a Dallas Cowboy fan. I prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and Roger Staubach. I was a Dallas Cowboy fan. And one day, God spoke to my heart about my sports. And so I don't participate anymore. Now, I'm not against sports. I simply felt that I needed to take the time that I was spending on sports, take that time praying. And I substituted it. Now, that sounds crazy to some of you, but the reason is you haven't been using the repentance you got. You haven't quit your cigarettes yet. So you can't see what's wrong yet because you haven't quit what you got repentance to quit yet. Everything that God commands from you, He gives it to you. And all you have to do is use it. And He gives you some more. I'd be ashamed if I were sitting talking and laughing in church right now. I'd be ashamed. I really would. Young lady, I'd be ashamed if I were you. I really would. And that's one reason why you're going to be a lousy stinking wife some of these days. Because you got a feast right here in front of you right now, and you're not eating, you're not partaking it. Ladies and gentlemen, every single thing the Apostle Paul had is laid out in front of you. As long as you keep eating, God keeps refilling. But God will not refill if the plate is still filled. Till you empty your plate, God will not refill it. Till you have put all the faith you have back in God, you won't get any more. Till you have turned from what you know to turn from, you won't get any more repentance. Till you have used the wisdom that God has given you, you won't get any more wisdom. Till you have used the power that God's given you, you won't get any more power. What a truth. Be a partaker. Partaker. I am a partaker. I ought not be pastor of this great church. I don't have that much talent, that much ability, but I have been a partaker. I've taken what God, the strength that God has given me, the wisdom that God has given me, and I've used it for Him, and God just keeps on giving me bigger bowls full and bigger bowls and bigger bowls and bigger bowls and bigger bowls. And this morning you ought to decide to be a partaker. Would you bow your heads, please?
Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and in your Schofield Bible, page 726. We'll be reading four verses here and turning to just one other verse, starting with verse 12. We'll read responsively through verse 15. The text verse here is the 13th verse, Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. your Schofield Bible, 726. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Turn now to Ezekiel chapter 28. Your Schofield Bible, page 871. Ezekiel 28 and the 14th verse. Read this verse, all of us together. Ready? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You've given us a great church. It's a privilege to be a part of it. We pray that you'd bless and help us with the privilege to understand the responsibility. We pray for this evening's service. We pray for thy power and blessing to be here among us and in that very special way that we need. Bless the man of God. Bless, we pray, and fill these hearers of thy word with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.